Welcome to the Todd Starn Show, sponsored by Legacy Precious Metals. There's never been a better time to invest in precious metals. Visit LegacyPMInvestments.com. That's LegacyPMInvestments.com.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
Wherever you're listening across this, the greatest nation God ever blessed, welcome to a Thursday edition of the Todd Starnes radio program, coast to coast, on more than 140 outstanding radio stations and streaming live, among other places, at ToddStarnes.com. Hello, fellow patriots. Jeff Stein filling in for Todd today, coming to you from my home base at Iowa's home to the Todd Starnes Show. News Talk 1540 KXCL in Cedar Rapids and Waterloo, the 50,000-watt blowtorch scorching middle America with accurate news and reasonable views. It's a travel day for Todd. He will be back in the air chair on this program on Monday, but we have a lot of business to take care of with you, and we welcome your calls, as always, on the Liberty University studio line, 844-747-8868. That's how you can join this coast-to-coast conversation. It's 844-747-8868 as we transact business in the Liberty University studio today. Lots of great guests on the program in the next 2 hours. Plenty of time in this hour for your calls, so take advantage of that phone number and join the conversation. Coming up 1 hour from now, we'll speak with Peter C. Earle. Mr. Earle is an economist with the American Institute for Economic Research. You might have heard in the news just a few moments ago before this program started on your local station that the new Consumer Price Index report came out today. And it's not good. It is a turnaround. You'll recall the Biden administration jacked inflation way up to something like 6 times what it was when they took over. And it has been on the decrease over the past 12 months of reports, unadjusted reports. And so they've been taking credit for halfway sort of fixing the tremendous problem they got us into. Well, in any event, the tide has turned, and you know this if you've been trying to buy anything, back-to-school items, clothing, groceries, gas for the car, etc. I mean, the inflation is just not abating in any way at all. But I'll tell you, for this to actually be admitted by the government, that suggests that it could even be much worse. Because as you all know, and I don't want to go too far down the road before the guest gets here, but look, you hear these reports, and then the next month they say, well, we had to readjust last month's report. And you know they're going to play with these numbers as we get near the election. You know that. So the fact that they even conceded at this point that inflation was back on the rise, that's big stuff. That's my take. But I'm not an economist. Peter Earle is, and you'll hear from him here on the Todd Starnes program 1 hour from now. If you listen to programs like this or you go to ToddStarnes.com, then you know about the Biden crime family. But if all you do is watch the network newscasts on the formerly mainstream channels of ABC, CBS, and NBC, you don't really know a thing about it. You know an awful lot about Donald Trump being indicted, but you don't know anything about the real crimes being committed by the Biden family. Well, the folks at the Media Research Center, in particular the Newsbusters wing of that great organization, they do keep track. And even though this information does not surprise you, the bias, I think it's important to actually note it and chronicle it and make sure that everybody knows we're on to them. And Curtis Houck is managing editor of Newsbusters. He'll join us in less than 90 minutes here on the Todd Starnes program. In hour number three today, the state superintendent of schools of the state of Oklahoma, former education secretary and teacher, he's Ryan Walters. And the Chinese influence in U.S. public schools is something that has not been getting enough attention. Until now, however, we'll make you aware of that situation coming up in hour number three. Also in number three, hour number three, the Associated Press, which is really the only news service we have now. Well, they're hardly unbiased. In fact, my station dropped AP earlier this year because it was just comical to some degree, the bias. Well, they have now slandered something called the Women's Bill of Rights. They say a Women's Bill of Rights is, in fact, an attack on transgender individuals. That is not the way the Independent Women's Forum sees it, however, and we'll speak with folks from that fine organization in hour number three as well. So, much to get to, including your calls at 844-747-8868. And thanks again for being along for the ride. Now, I said that Todd was on a travel day. He's on his way back to Gotham City, and he's not just on vacation. Who goes to New York these days on vacation anyway? Well, certainly not many people listening to this program, but Todd's going to take one for the team because he's going to be finding himself behind a TV camera again tomorrow. He'll be filling in for Greg Kelly on Mr. Kelly's Newsmax show in primetime. How about that? We get to see Todd on TV again tomorrow night. I had no plans for Friday, but I do now. So make sure that you're watching Todd on Newsmax as he fills in for Greg Kelly. And I'll check the time. I don't even want to tell you a time. I think it's 10 o'clock Eastern, 9 o'clock here in God's country, and the rest of you can figure it out with your own math, but I'll cross-check that. They changed the schedule a while back, and I can't keep track of things, but our man, Mr. Starnes, filling in for Greg Kelly on his program tomorrow night on Newsmax, and that's why he is away today and tomorrow, but we'll be back here on Monday. ToddStarnes.com is where you go for all manner of information, including the live show blog. And I want to talk to you about something in this segment and perhaps the next as well. And it has to do with history to some degree. I mean, if you think back, the founders of this country, and it's almost 250 years ago that the Declaration of Independence was signed, but it took a while to get the government part of it right. So it really started with the Constitution in 1789. So still a long time, right? More than 200 years. These folks were pretty smart. They set up the most well-functioning democracy in the history of personkind. And as part of that, they said, all right, we need somebody in the nation's capital to be the figurehead of the government. And there was a lot of conversation at the time. Should this person be known as a king? Because if you think about history, this was a monarchy all over Europe, right? That's what they were escaping. But the thought was, well, what do we call the person in charge of the American government? And the title president came up for a number of reasons. One, George Washington did not want to be King George, because that's what they just got away from. And so he became president. In other words, we wanted a president elected by the people, not directly through the Electoral College, so that even those of us in rural areas and smaller states had a proper voice. We wanted a president that was elected by the people, not a king that would rule as a dictator. And that has served us very well, I would say, and I trust you agree. But apparently there are those now in the Biden administration who believe that instead of President Biden, it should be King Joe the First. And I say that because of actions that they are taking. You never question the motives or actions of the monarch. You never question or challenge the king. Well, heaven knows, don't challenge this president because he seems to think that he is above it all. He has shown it in so many ways. Contempt for the news media. Contempt for dissent. Contempt for the American people. His loyal subjects, don't you know? I've been thinking about this and speaking about it on my program a bit lately. The idea of the high-handedness of this administration going into an election year to the point that safety could be an issue. Safety of those who dare challenge or question this president who would be king. We're going to take a break now, and when we come back, I want to play a quote picked up on a mic yesterday, and you've probably seen it or heard it. But to me, again, it speaks volumes of the high-handedness of this administration and the low regard with which they think of you. You are held in such low regard by them. Just yet another example, and that's coming up in a moment. We'll return to the Liberty University studio after this break. In the meantime, jump on the phone, 844-747-8868. It is a free call. We'll make Mr. Starnes pay for it. I mean, he's doing Newsmax again, for crying out loud. He could pick up the tab for the phone call, 844-747-8868. And if that comment didn't cross the line, I'll be back in a moment. Jeff Stein in for Todd, and this is the Todd Starnes Show.
Legacy Precious Metals has a revolutionary new online platform that allows you to invest in real gold and silver online. Hi, this is Todd Starnes, and in just a few easy steps, you can open an account online, select your metals of choice, and choose to have them stored in a vault or shipped to your door. You'll have access to a dashboard where you can track your portfolio growth in real time, anytime, and you'll see transparent pricing on every coin and bar. This puts you in complete control of your money. The platform is free to sign up for. Visit LegacyPMInvestments.com and open your account and see this new investing platform for yourself. Gold hedges against inflation and against a volatile stock market. A true diversified portfolio isn't just more stocks and bonds, but different asset classes. And this new platform allows you to make investments in gold and silver, no matter how small or large, with a few clicks. Visit LegacyPMInvestments.com to get started. That's LegacyPMInvestments.com. Or call 866-649-0304. That number again, 866-649-0304, and start investing today.
Welcome back to the Liberty University studio and the Todd Starnes Show. Jeff Stein filling in for Todd today. 844-747-8868 is the phone number. I started talking about King Joe the First, and I was going to mention something that was in the news overnight and into this morning. But Victor, calling in from Maryland, I think saw the same item, and he listens online to the Todd Starnes Show. Victor, thanks for taking the time to call, and tell us about this situation and your thoughts.
Okay, well, I have Alexa, so I can tell her to play. Today I got KYKN on, so I'm learning about Salem, Oregon. Anyhow, I was listening to the Cooner Country this morning, and Jeff was talking about this Utah man, 75 years old. He can hardly walk, walks with a cane. He does mouth off a lot. And he was saying that someone needs to take care of Biden and all the other people. But yet, at the same time, so the FBI raided this guy's house and killed him, dead. So he can't speak what he wants to speak, but yet you got Madonna dreaming about blowing up the White House with Trump in it. You got what the hell was her name? Kathy
Griffin.
Gifford or Griffin or somebody.
Kathy
with
Griffin,
the
separate
head of Donald Trump and another guy. These people can say anything they want. They can make all kinds of threats to Donald Trump, but if you dare say something about Biden, the FBI is going to come after you.
Why do you think they took such aggressive action, Victor, as opposed to really, I mean, because you have to understand, everybody does, that the president, any president, gets all manner of threats and they all need to be investigated. But when was the last time you heard anybody was dropped by an FBI bullet as part of this?
This is a message. You better be quiet, better behave yourself. you better mind the Bidens or else. It's a message. They'll come and kill you. And what I am terrified is that when they arrest Trump and put him in jail, they're going to kill him.
Well, they're doing everything they can to require the former president to be in custody, and I'm very concerned about his safety on an ongoing basis, and I hear people complain that he's not doing certain campaign events. Well, if you've ever been near the logistics of a presidential visit, you know you have to care about security an awful lot, especially in this climate. Do you have some concerns that maybe the folks who are paid to protect him have divided loyalties? Let me phrase it that way.
Yes, I do. Every government agency has been corrupted, from the Secret Service to the FBI to the CIA. You can't trust these people anymore. And I'm afraid they're out to get the good guys. And I can talk, but that's about all I can do. I don't think they'll come after a blind man like me, but you never know. Because I love talking on the phone. I like calling talk shows. I like listening to my Alexa device, and I can pick any radio station around the country. I like DXing. I used to get KXEL every night until I moved to Silver Spring, where I have interference from a 50,000-watt station at 1,500.
Hey, we're on Alexa, too, you know.
Oh, yes.
You can find us on Alexa, and I'm on just before Todd comes on. So it'd be an honor
a couple of times when there was eSkip, I got Channel 2 in Cedar Rapids.
Just down the road. Victor, it was a privilege talking to you, and I appreciate the thoughtful conversation, and keep listening on that Alexa device. Thanks so much for calling in. And this is the thing I saw yesterday when I saw the news that this individual had been killed. No, you don't make threats against a president. But again, when was the last time this kind of action was necessary? And it just feeds into this whole argument that this is a dictator or a monarch, and therefore they will do whatever it takes to stay in power. Matt called in at 844-747-8868. Matt is in Eastern North Carolina listening on WTKF. Matt, thanks for calling the Starn Show. Jeff Stein filling in. How are you today?
Yes, sir, Jeff Stein. How are you?
I am very well and better now that I'm talking to you. So what do you think about the FBI? Can we trust them when it comes to the Biden crime family?
Well, no, but unlike what Victor just told you, anybody threatening to kill a president, I think, and I said this last night on a different show I'm not supposed to talk about, anyone threatening to kill a president, I don't care if it's Biden, I'm a Trump supporter, that's just crazy stuff. I mean, you don't go around threatening a president, even if he's an idiot.
No, you're gonna get somebody showing up at the door of your house, there's no question. And usually, you either get a stern talking to, or if it looks like there might be something to it, you're arrested. But you're not shot and killed on sight immediately before the president comes to town.
No, but the guy put it all over social media, I was told.
Yeah, well, but again, anybody can just thumb out a tweet or an X or whatever it is. It's the job of the law enforcement to investigate and see if this is a valid threat. And I don't know enough about the situation either. But I just find it interesting that just at a time that we cannot trust the heads of these agencies to act in our best interest, I worry about how they are acting when they go to investigate these things. I mean, that's just the concern that I have. And Matt, thanks so much for weighing in. I do appreciate it. More of your calls on the other side at 844-747-8868. I'm Jeff Stein filling in for Todd today. He's on his way to New York. You'll see him on the Newsmax tomorrow night instead of Greg Kelly. Todd filling in at 10 Eastern. 9 Central tomorrow night on Newsmax. But we're back here on the radio in a moment.
MyPillow is celebrating its 20-year anniversary with over 80 million MyPillows sold. Mike Lindell at MyPillow wants to thank each and every one of you by giving you the lowest price in the history of MyPillow. You're going to get their queen-size MyPillow for $19.98, regular price $69.98, and just $10 more, you're going to be able to get a king-size pillow. You're going to receive deep discounts on all MyPillow products like bed sheets, mattress toppers, pet beds, mattresses, my slippers, and so much more. This is the time to try out some of their other amazing products you've had your eye on. Go to MyPillow.com/Starnes. That's MyPillow.com/Starnes. Use the promo code Starnes to get this amazing offer of the queen-size MyPillow for $19.98 or call 1-800-839-8506. The offer comes with a 10-year warranty and a 60-day money-back guarantee. That's MyPillow.com/Starnes. Use the promo code Starnes or call 800-839-8506, promo code Starnes.
Welcome back to the Todd Starnes Show, coming to you from the Liberty University studio. I'm Jeff Stein, filling in for Todd today. 844-747-8868. That's how you can connect with this coast-to-coast conversation. And so far today, we've been talking about the Biden administration and some high-handed efforts on their behalf that make us think, at least makes me think, that they would rather it be King Joe the First as opposed to President Biden. Yesterday, at a public event, Fox News Channel reporter Peter Doocy came up to the president to ask a question, and this was permitted. I mean, there were people milling around. It was not an inappropriate thing. It was not shouting at a news conference, etc. But here is what the exchange sounded like, and again, because it was not directly into a microphone on a podium, it's a little hard to hear. But listen to this, please.
There's this testimony now where one of your son's former business associates is claiming that you were on speakerphone a lot with them talking business. Is that what?
I never talked business with anybody. And I knew you'd have a lousy question.
Well, what do you? It's why is that a lousy question?
Because it's not true.
Thank you, Mr. President.
His aide could not get there fast enough to pull him away from getting himself in trouble. I knew you'd ask a lousy question. Well, why is it a lousy question? Nope, thank you. Thank you, folks. Here we go. Let's usher him off before he says something that is going to be contradicted by testimony in court. Oh, wait, he already did say something that was contradicted by testimony. Keep in mind, this is Peter Doocy of Fox News Channel. He is the same reporter who the president once called a stupid B-word, meaning child born out of wedlock. And then the president had to call and sort of apologize, but he didn't really apologize. This time, according to news reports, Mr. Doocy had barely gotten to his car after the event, and White House officials were calling to criticize the foundation of the question. Doubling down without any question. But keep in mind, just because Joe Biden says it doesn't make it true. My family never benefited from China. This is where we need the game show buzzer, by the way, because all of these are incorrect answers. Of course, now Hunter has admitted in court to taking hundreds of thousands of dollars from China. Yet Joe still says nobody in my family benefited from China. I wonder how much of this is straight denial because he knows it would be trouble, and how much of it is given his limited mental state these days. And I say that with sadness, not with any derisiveness. I think he's convinced himself of the story. Or he lacks the fundamental desire or ability to question what he is told. No, Pops, we never took any money from China. Sounds good to me. The fact that they continually deride those who raise an issue, That is the sign of an administration that thinks they can get away with anything and thinks they're better than you. And the way that they treat any criticism. Look, you know, if you're the president and you're in your right mind, you know you're going to get asked about all manner of things like this. About the testimony of Devin Archer. About the fact that there are all manner of bank records that show that the president has been lying to the American people. Congressman Comer dredging up another list. Here they are. Bank records don't lie. But if they talk loud enough and make fun of you for asking the question, or freeze you out from asking questions, or saying, I should have known you'd have a lousy question. Wow. That is arrogance. But my broader point is, you know those questions are going to get asked. Are you telling me his staff doesn't have a response beyond ushering him off the stage? You can have a non-answer answer. I'm not going to comment on pending investigations, but I am confident my family did nothing wrong. There, it's a pretty simple answer. You folks in the White House monitoring this program, that's free. You can have that one. But this shows something much deeper. This is the kind of administration that is desperate to hold on to power at all costs. And when it is at all costs, then you have to worry. Because maybe they'll arrest their key political opponents. Maybe they'll deny Secret Service protection for key political opponents. Robert F. Kennedy Jr. is getting a lot of attention. Obviously, it started with his famous name, but there has to be something more to it. And he says things that I don't think every person listening to this program would agree with. He says things not every Democrat would agree with. But he says a lot of things that make you think. And that's dangerous to these people currently in charge. They don't want you thinking. Thinking for yourself? We can't have that. Presidential candidates have been afforded Secret Service protection since 1968. The events happened in 1968 that led to a change in policy. And the triggering event was the assassination of Robert F. Kennedy Sr., who at that time was the leading Democrat candidate, was not the nominee. All right, so now they have all manner of provisions saying once it's the nominee, then they get protection. But that's not the only time. There are exceptions. For example, Barack Obama got Secret Service protection in the spring of 2007, well before the January 2008 Iowa presidential precinct caucuses, which he won, and it led to his eventual win as president, winning of the election. But because he had received credible threats, he got Secret Service protection more than a year before someone in his position normally would have. They say 4 months before the election. Well, that's July. He got it in the spring of the year before. I have no problem with that, by the way. As a taxpayer, I'll pay for safety. And if that includes people who could be the leader of the free world, I'll pay for that. I'm good. Robert F. Kennedy Jr. has received a number of threats, partly because of his name, partly because of his stance on COVID and COVID-related issues. He asked for Secret Service protection as a bona fide presidential candidate challenging King Joe I. Despite, I think it was an 80-page investigative report with specifics listed, the Biden administration denied Mr. Kennedy Secret Service protection. Mr. Kennedy has protection. He has private security. That's not the point. The point is that you are leading up to an election where the average American thinks things are far worse off than they were 4 years ago. You've got the leading Republican being slammed with criminal indictments at every turn, and you've got the leading Democrat challenger denied Secret Service protection. Then you have what may be an overreaction to someone mouthing off on social media, which we talked about in the earlier segment. That family's planning a funeral today, as this president is planning a trip to Utah. And you've got the attitude of, don't ask me lousy questions. That's a lousy question. With the White House then having to pull the leader of the free world by title, not by action, by title, off the stage. Put all of this together. And how comfortable do you feel about how the next year and 3 months before the next general election is going to go? Or essentially year and a half before the next president is inaugurated? I have great fear that there is so much that is rotten here, that there are so many who are desperate to cover up the rot, that they will engage in whatever is necessary to maintain their stranglehold on power so you don't get to know what they were doing. And when they are that desperate, when the dogs are cornered, they will lash out. Is there anything that this bunch won't do in order to preserve their way of life and preserve their control over you and over me? I'm not sure there is anything. That's what's really scary about it. I'm really not sure there is anything they will say, oh, no, we can't do that. That's crossing the line. That has me greatly concerned. And the fact that as we go into this 2024 election cycle, there are so many people on the right, quite honestly, who say, well, look how bad Biden is. He can barely get along on the stage, and he fumbles, and look at all the corruption. Surely people will see this, and we won't have, somebody from the Republican side will be in. We don't have to worry about it. You better worry about it. Because we are no longer in the days where people play fair. We are in the days where there is desperation to maintain power and control over you and for their benefit. And if you think it is going to be business as usual with fair counts in the next election, and that everybody is going to play fairly because that's how we've always done it, you need to open your eyes a bit more. I have grave concerns about this. I have grave concerns about how things are going to go, regardless of the outcome. I don't have a recipe for what we do at this point other than stay active, stay legally engaged, and pay very close attention. But we must do at least that. 844-747-8868. That's how you can join in on this coast-to-coast conversation. We'll take your calls after this break. I'm Jeff Stein, in for Todd, and this is The Todd Starn Show. Welcome back to The Todd Starn Show. Jeff Stein filling in for Todd today. He's making his way to Gotham City, where he will be filling in for Greg Kelly tomorrow night on Newsmax. Greg Kelly Reports airs weeknights at 10 Eastern, 9 Central. The rest of you do your own math. But Todd will be sitting there filling in for Greg Kelly tomorrow night, 10 Eastern, on Newsmax. My privilege to be with you here today in the Liberty University studio. 844-747-8868 is how you can reach the program. Now, I'm here in the state of Iowa, which is the first in the nation caucus state. And our great Iowa State Fair began today. Now, you may think you have a pretty good state fair, but our state fair is a great state fair. We know it because they wrote a song about it and a book and three movies. And we have a cow sculpted out of butter. The woman who did that for generations was from my hometown, thank you very much. And there are all manner of presidential candidates making their way through. And they are also looking forward to that first debate, which will be in Milwaukee a little later this month. And the Republican National Committee is requiring candidates to sign a pledge. And it is, I'm not a fan. All right, let me just tell you, I'm not a fan of the RNC pledge. Because it doesn't mean anything. But here's what I do like. Ambassador Nikki Haley has signed off on it. And basically, it's called the Beat Biden Pledge, and it says, I will only participate in a debate that's sanctioned by the Republican National Committee. See, I don't like that part. Keep your mitts out of the local politics. And if you do participate in a debate that's not sanctioned, you won't be eligible to participate in others. And then there's this. Additionally, I affirm that if I do not win the 2024 Republican nomination for President of the United States, I will honor the will of the primary voters and support the nominee in order to save our country and beat Joe Biden. She drew a line through the Beat Biden logo and wrote the words, President Harris. It's a very smart play, because if you elect Biden Harris, at some point you're going to get Harris. I pray for Joe Biden's health every night, every single night, because if his health falters, look who's the president of the United States. And I have no confidence that we will get anything constructive done, including uttering a complete sentence without cackling or repeating the same words three different times to define the word you were defining with the words. That's Kamala speak right there. So Nikki Haley is saying, sure, I'll sign the pledge, but let's make it clear we're beating President Harris. And that's a very interesting approach, and she's not the only candidate to mention it, to mention that you've got to consider what you're getting with a Biden-Harris ticket. At this point, President Trump is not revealing whether he will be at the debate. He's teased that he might hold another event. He goes to public appearances, as he did in my state of Iowa recently, as he did in New Hampshire, saying, I don't know, should I do the debate? Should I not do the debate? I made it our poll question of the day. My station, News Talk 1540 KXEL, does a poll question of the day, and Miss Grace is kind enough to put it on the live show blog. So go to toddstarns.com, click on the live show blog, and you'll see the link. Or just go to kxel.com/poll. That's kxel.com/poll. And I'm asking, do you think Trump should participate in the debate? And there are various options like, yes, all the candidates should be there, or no, doesn't serve him any purpose at this point. He has nothing to gain from it. Or maybe no, but he should join in later when there are fewer candidates. Well, what do you think? ToddStarns.com live show blog. The link to the poll question is there, or my website directly. It's kxel.com/poll. Should Donald Trump be on the debate stage? Should he participate in the debate in Milwaukee later this month? Would love to get your thoughts and share them with the audience. Coming up in our next hour, we'll talk with an economist from the American Institute for Economic Research. The new Consumer Price Index report released today, it's not what the Biden administration wanted, and I have my own suspicions that if they're reporting bad news at this point, it must really be bad, because they can always cook the books, but there's only so far that they can cook them. So the mere fact that it's negative gives us some concern. Also, media bias? Yes, sir. Curtis Houck of Newsbusters. Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. He'll talk about that in the next hour as well. Thanks for being here. Come on back for hour two. Jeff Stein in for Todd on the Todd Stern Show.
From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right.
first American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah. Wherever you're listening across this, the greatest nation God ever blessed, welcome to Hour 2 of a Thursday edition of the Todd Starnes radio program, coast to coast on more than 140 outstanding radio stations. And streaming live at ToddStarnes.com. Hello, fellow patriots. I'm Jeff Stein filling in for Todd today. He'll be back on Monday. Coming to you from my home base at the 50,000-watt clear channel voice of the Midwest, the blowtorch. We scorch this area with accurate news and reasonable views. News Talk 1540 KXEL, which, of course, is Iowa's home to the Todd Starnes Show, and I'm glad to be here in the air chair today for Todd in the Liberty University studio. 844-747-8868 is how you can join this coast-to-coast conversation. We'll get to your calls in the next segment. But now we go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. We are joined by economist Peter C. Earle. Mr. Earle is with the American Institute for Economic Research. They are online at AIER.org. Mr. Earle, thanks for taking the time. Jeff Stein in for Todd today. How are you?
Good. How's everything, Jeff? Thanks for having me.
Well, it was better before gas prices went way up in the Midwest where I live last couple of weeks, and grocery stores and everything else. And finally, we've got some government data, the Consumer Price Index report in particular, that, well, it's not as positive as it had been, as I understand it.
Yeah, so, I mean, we've got a little bit of good news in there. Certainly, prices are increasing at a slower rate than they have been. But one of the things we're going to see over the next 2 months is we're going to see the top-line number, the headline number, which includes food and energy prices, probably rising, because there's a situation where we have refineries that are going offline because of the high temperatures. And the combination of less supply and higher demand in the summer because of vacations means you are probably already seeing gasoline prices rising where you live, and they're probably going to go up a bit more.
Well, they don't seem to go down very often after these things, little seasonal spikes, et cetera. When we look at the cost, just a fuel alone, as you just mentioned. So, yeah, it's going to cost me more to commute to work. It is going to cost our school districts more to take kids to school. It's going to cost more to transport goods. That really, to me, has always been the fuel cost. That has always been the thing to watch because it has such a wide impact in so many areas. Or am I misreading that?
No, you're right. As a matter of fact, if you look at the areas which have risen the most in price over the last 2 years, you'll see fuel, right? You'll see gasoline and oil. Yeah. You'll see food. And you'll see shelter. Now, I mean, talk about the three things that you can't get away from paying. You know, where you live, how you get to your job, and how much food costs. It's been an awful sort of a period for the Federal Reserve, who just makes one mistake after another. And the first was these really heavy-handed responses to COVID. There was no need to create trillions upon trillions of dollars, and we're still living with the effects today.
And that is really the thing that, as you track this, the rate of inflation when the Biden administration took over was what, 1.4%, 1.7%, something in there. It wound up being six times that, and now they're bringing it down saying, look how good we are. Well, they caused the problem to begin with. I'm not sure they should get much credit for, quote, fixing a problem they caused.
Yeah, and it's, by the way, it's the exact same thing with employment. The only reason why we have strong employment numbers is because we basically, or I should say not we, not you and I, but our policymakers basically invoked, or they brought about, an artificial recession at the beginning, year, 6 months, a year of COVID, and then basically they wouldn't basically take the emergency off until Biden came in office, and all we're seeing are the effects of an economy healing. There's no actual Biden, you know, Bidenomics or Biden policy of going into, the economy. This is simply the economy healing after having been sort of held down for over a year. So, what they're doing right now is they're taking credit for things that would have happened anyway, which is just, I mean, that's the ultimate sort of political accomplishment, isn't it?
Well, it's hardly surprising, but I've grown far more cynical than I ever thought I would be, and I started at a high level of cynicism, let me tell you. Economist Peter Earle joining us. He's with the American Institute for Economic Research. AIER.org is the website. He joins us on the Todd Starnes Show. Jeff Stein filling in for Todd today. if the economy is in a healing phase, and that makes perfect sense to me, you have the data, but it makes perfect sense to me, how much longer can that go on before we have tapped out of the healing? And that's an awkward way to phrase it, but in essence, how long can this administration live on what is the natural result of a post-COVID recovery?
So, frankly, I think we're on borrowed time already. If you recall, last week, maybe 2 weeks ago, we had our second quarter GDP number, which came out at 2.4%, which was, higher than the 1.6, 1.8%. But when you look under the hood, as I have, and I've been writing about this stuff, the only two numbers that made that number positive or that really accounted for about 90% of that 2.4% are not really great things. The first, of course, is consumer spending, where if you look at the top line of spending, it looks good. But when you look at durable spending, which are durables are basically goods that last for 3 years, and it's a very good, durable spending is a very strong indicator of recessions, right? It falls right before recessions. It went from over 16% in the first quarter to 0.04 in the second quarter. So that's a big drop in durable spending. The second thing is a lot of the GDP increase was in non-residential fixed investment, which, by the way, means the Biden administration has passed three bills. One is called the CHIPS and Science Act. One is called the Inflation Reduction Act. That's a laugh. And the other is the so-called Bipartisan Infrastructure Act. And those three acts are sending billions and billions of dollars to companies to build facilities. So that's what accounts for a lot of the growth in GDP in that particular category. But the problem is that's building that's based upon government subsidies. That's not building to meet unmet demand, which would be real, sort of business and growth positive, sort of data. So really about 2.1 of the 2.4% number is based on very, very sort of weak, strong-looking numbers that are actually very weak and probably declining soon. We have consumers have taken on a lot of credit. We have student loans picking up again in September. It's not so easy to see where that spending, or how that spending, rather, is going to continue.
This is an imperfect analogy, but it's sort of like a kid who gets an allowance, and they think that they're rich because they've gotten the allowance, but then they turn 18 and have to live on their own, and it's like, oh, wait a second, I don't have any money. I mean, it's all just a house of cards because, again, and I look at these reports every month, and if I see that government jobs, for example, have increased, well, that's not helpful because, again, you've got to have taxpayers to pay for the government employees, and if the only real growth in jobs is due to government, that's just a fiction in terms of long-term sustainability.
Absolutely. It's a shell game. The governments don't really have any way of raising money. I mean, or actually, productive. They do one of three things. They either take it from you and I through taxes. They either sell debt, like treasury bonds, of which we have $32 trillion of now, or they print money, which reduces the buying power of our existing money. So, any type of government growth that comes from either of those three is really sort of ephemeral. It's not real growth. It's just sort of like window dressing.
How does this all affect the housing market? And I ask that because of the fact that things have gone very high in terms of prices because you could get financing for a low rate. Well, now the interest rates are going up. I'm seeing more stagnancy, at least where I live, with regard to houses for sale. What's the sense nationally on this? And also that there's the hesitance to build, and that has an even greater effect.
So the rise in home prices has been so rapid, and the increase in mortgage rates has been so rapid. They're over 7% now. I predicted that by the end of the year they would get over to 7.5%, but we'll see how that works out. But at any rate, the turnover in terms of residential housing is as low as 1% in some areas. And where it's not that high, many houses have been priced out of the market. So we're going to see a lot of millennials and Gen Zs, the younger people, have to stay in apartments for longer. By the way, those shelter prices are still up about 7% year over year. That was 90% of the increase in the CPI from June to July was in shelter prices. So we really have younger people who are trying to start their lives between a rock and a hard place.
Final question for economist Peter Earle of the American Institute for Economic Research. All right, here we are in early August. What's this all going to look like if we speak at the end of this calendar year?
Well, I am on the record since March of saying that before September 2024, we will enter a recession. A lot of my fellow economists and other institutions are backing off of that because they think the numbers are good. I gave us a little more time than saying before the end of this year because I thought that we are still seeing a lot of distortions from the pandemic policies like lockdowns, you know, supply chain issues, all of those problems. I think that we are heading for a recession. I don't know whether it's going to be a severe one or maybe a more muted one, but the combination of artificial growth, government subsidies to companies, of a diminished consumer, the effects of price increases on people's credit and on the sticky sort of high prices of groceries, I think that growth is going to fall in the second half, mostly a recession. At least before September 2024, so sometime this month.
I was talking with an economist from Creighton University named Ernie Goss, who is an expert in the Midwest economy, and the manufacturing reports that he prepares were in concert with the national manufacturing reports that were issued about a week and a half ago. Those weren't positive either, and if manufacturing starts taking a slide, that plays right into the scenario you described, does it not?
Sure. We've got some softness in certain local markets. You know, the states always rise before the federal numbers, and as early as April or May, we were seeing increasing first-time applications for unemployment on the state level. Like you just mentioned, I see growing indications of slack in manufacturing. The Institute for Purchasing Managers, all of those sorts of things. The Institute for Supply Managers. Consumer fatigue. Interest rates now at 22-year highs. You know, any business which was started in the last 21 years has never had to contend with rates this high, unless they had really bad credit, which you usually don't start a business if you have credit that's that bad. There's a lot of tests facing the U.S. economy over the next year or so, and I have no doubt that every single one of them is going to be politicized, most unfortunately.
It is indeed, but it is. We just need to be aware of that so we can filter some of that out. AIER.org is the website for the American Institute for Economic Research. Economist Peter Earle, thanks so much for the smart conversation and the insight. I appreciate it. I hope we talk again.
Thanks for having me. Great time.
Peter Earle, and again, it's American Institute for Economic Research. AIER.org is their website. That's AIER.org. And he has taken these numbers, by the way, and put them into their own everyday price index. And that's some interesting stuff, too. So if you need some data that will help you back up your argument about how things are or to see if how you think things are squares with some national data, well, that's a good place to go, AIER.org. And he joined us on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line here on the Todd Starn Show. 844-747-8868 is how you can connect with us. We'll take your calls in the next segment. I'm Jeff Stein, filling in for Todd, and this is the Todd Starn Show. Welcome back to the Liberty University studio and the Todd Starn Show. Jeff Stein filling in for Todd today. It's a travel day for TS. He's on his way to New York. He will be filling in for Greg Kelly on Newsmax tomorrow night. The excellent program Greg Kelly Reports airs at 10 o'clock Eastern, 9 o'clock Central weeknights. And Todd will be filling in for Greg on Newsmax tomorrow night on Greg Kelly Reports. That means I'm here today. Todd will be back, by the way, on Monday in the air chair. Excellent conversation we just had with economist Peter Earle, because there are so many aspects of this that I know from talking to other economists, it bothers them when this stuff becomes politicized, because they're numbers people. And they study the organic nature of capitalistic systems, etc., and to see the government interfere like it did to spike inflation, and now you've got the interest rate hikes from the Fed to, wait for it, curb inflation that they caused. I mean, it drives these people crazy. It was a great conversation that we had, and guests on the Todd Starn Show join us on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. I always tell you here to go to patriotmobile.com/Todd, and I hadn't done it in a while. I just thought, well, I'll just kind of do that, because that's what you'll be doing right now, patriotmobile.com/Todd, and there you go. There's Todd's picture, and there's a button where you can check coverage. And this is important so that you know before you sign up that you're going to get the kind of service you need. You click on that. I just typed in my address during the break, and sure enough, I knew this, but sure enough, obviously, Patriot Mobile covers, and they have so many different plans that fit all your needs. But really, more than ever, as we've discussed everything today and how we have such distrust of institutions we used to trust implicitly, well, now more than ever, it is important to support individuals, companies, and organizations that share our values. And Patriot Mobile is one of those. It's America's only Christian conservative wireless carrier, sharing our beliefs but actually doing something about it by donating a portion of every dollar to organizations that fight for the causes you care about. Switch to Patriot Mobile now, use promo code Todd, and you'll get free activation and a free gift. How's that for a deal? Patriot Mobile, and the map's right there on the website. It's got the broadest nationwide coverage. They use the same towers other carriers use, so it's not like the old days. They have so many plans that I was just looking at in terms of maybe doing an upgrade. They fit any budget. Also great discounts for our veteran and first responder heroes, discounts for multi-line users. You owe it to yourself to check this out, because if you're going to spend money, do it with someone you can trust. And that is not only for service, but also with what they believe in and what they do with the money. And it is super, super easy to switch to Patriot Mobile. Go to patriotmobile.com/Todd. And you could, if you'd rather, call their U.S.-based, thank you very much, customer service team at 972-PATRIOT. I'll repeat that in a moment. Special discount, free premier activation, but you have to use promo code Todd. Go to patriotmobile.com/Todd, patriotmobile.com/Todd, or call them at 972-PATRIOT. That's 972-PATRIOT. And as you go through the website, they ask you, do you want to keep your phone? Do you want a new phone? Do you want to keep your number? It's all the kind of things that you would be asked if you went into a store. But you can just do it on your time from home at patriotmobile.com/Todd. I don't have to tell you in this audience, I don't have to tell you that the formerly mainstream media, the former media we could trust, well, we don't trust them now because the bias is clear for everyone to see. They used to hide it at the very least. Well, now it's not hidden at all. So if I were to tell you that if all you did was watch the evening news on ABC, CBS, NBC, you would hear a lot about Trump indictment stories, but you wouldn't hear anything about the Biden crime family. Would that surprise you? No, it doesn't surprise you at all. But the amount of bias categorized by the folks at Media Research Center and Newsbusters, that's staggering. And that's our topic when Curtis Houck joins us after this break from the Liberty University studio. Jeff Stein in for Todd. Stay with us on the Todd Starn Show. Welcome back to the Todd Starn Show. I'm Jeff Stein, filling in for Todd today here in the Liberty University studio. 844-747-8868 is how you can join this coast-to-coast conversation, and we'll take your calls in the next segment. But let's go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line for this conversation with Curtis Houck. Mr. Houck is managing editor of Newsbusters. That's part of the Media Research Center. Mr. Houck, Jeff Stein filling in for Todd. Thanks for taking the time, sir.
Good to talk to you again, Jeff.
You and I have spoken on my program in Iowa in the past. I'm not sure we've talked on the national program before. I think people know what the Media Research Center is, but why don't you remind us generally and give us some specifics about Newsbusters and all the great work you folks do there.
Yeah, we've been around for 36 years, just like Joe Biden, the United States Senate. The MRC has been chronicling the best and worst of the liberal media bias, both on a short and long-term basis. We look at ABC, CBS, NBC, primarily because they are still, despite declining numbers, the most watched newscasts here in this country. We also look at the liberal cable networks, CNN, MSNBC, and we also, you know, just check on what's going on at Fox News, Newsmax, and the business channels, Fox Business, CNBC. Look at the major papers, the New York Times, Washington Post, etc. And we also check out what everybody's doing to put their foot in their mouth on social media as well. And we also look at big tech censorship. That's one of our new platforms as well. And occasionally we still look at what the liberal media are saying in Spanish as well.
Well, that's a pretty full plate, especially the people putting their foot in their mouth on social media. But I mentioned to the audience before you came on that if I said to the audience, there's bias in the media, nobody would be shocked. I mean, we know this. But I still think it's important to quantify it and call it out when we see it. And the double standard that we talk about in the judicial system is also a double standard in terms of news coverage about these cases. Give us some of this data regarding the Trump indictments as opposed to the actions of what I call the Biden crime family.
Well, yeah, we should just know that you are being spun. Even if you can sniff out media bias, you should always be, you know, have your antennas up. You know, I think that while the internet allows you different news outlets and opportunities to check out media of all stripes, it does require a little bit more know-how on your part. And I know people have real jobs out there, but it's just something to keep in mind. The tally that we have here, that the reason I'm on the show, is I've been looking at ABC, CBS, and NBC coverage of the third Trump indictment. So just the Trump indictment. We're not talking about the document scandal. We're not talking about Alvin Bragg. We're not talking about the one that's coming in Georgia. Mm-hmm. The January 6th indictment, whatever you think about it, is a big story. But is it really worth 341 minutes, so over 5.5 hours, on the broadcast networks between the evening of August 1st, so when the indictment came out, through this morning, August 10th? Is it really worth that much? Now, you think that's a big number, so I also look at that because we usually try to pit two numbers against each other, and we try mm-hmm. to offer some sort of contrast when we do our studies. So I said, what is the amount of time that Biden scandals have been looked at on these networks? Even just vague, esoteric allusions to Biden scandals, or Republicans are saying things about Hunter Biden. It could be that vague. Only 4 minutes and 50 seconds. So you convert it all to seconds, and you do a ratio to come up with a big ratio. That is, the Trump number is 71 times larger than the Biden number. Astounding.
That's what it is, astounding. And it's, again, when we know there's bias, all right, that's helpful, but to see how obvious it is and the magnitude of it, you've done this more than a day, and so you're probably not surprised by much, but did even this disparity, I know you folks have kept track on this, and it just keeps getting worse and worse. The news releases your people send out often say, the tally of 4 minutes and 50 seconds on Biden scandals remain unchanged because they've moved on from that story. But are you even surprised at this disparity and how large it is?
I mean, sometimes I'm not so, you know, the disparity. Yes, I would say, but the largest of the Trump number, I wasn't. And then I split it down even further per network. I compare their Trump coverage versus their Biden coverage. I'll just do ABC.
Okay.
I hadn't updated it with last night and this morning's numbers. So through yesterday morning, ABC had about 2 hours and 3 minutes. So 123 minutes, almost 124. They only had 39 seconds on Joe Biden. And that came from Doug Burgum, long-shot presidential candidate, on ABC's This Week, telling George Stephanopoulos, I'm not here to talk about Donald Trump, but if you want, I can talk about Hunter Biden and his laptop and et cetera, et cetera. So you put those two numbers together, ABC has spent 190 times more on Donald Trump's third indictment than Trump's or Biden scandals in this same time period. I mean, it is huge. And I think it's just important for people to know that their friends and family, and let's be honest, folks, these are the people that watch these networks, whether it's Donald Trump or some other Republican candidate, they are going to need them in November 2024. So that's why, you know, you say, well, why does this matter? We have our news. We get the real news. Yes, you should, but you should also know what's going on these other networks, because the people who the Republican nominee is going to need watch these networks, and they are completely in the dark.
Curtis Houck is with Newsbusters, managing editor of that group within Media Research Center. Very simple website, in terms of the address to remember. It's newsbusters.org, newsbusters.org. And if you go there, there is all manner of information on a variety of topics, including the story that we're talking about right now. 71 times more minutes and seconds spent on the Trump indictment than on any hint of the Biden scandals. And look what they're doing there with North Dakota Governor Burgum, who I have interviewed because I'm in Iowa. That's kind of what you do. You interview presidential candidates every 4 years. And he's got a compelling story. But this is what they do, is they try to draw people in. You know, you invite Doug Burgum on to talk about his presidential candidacy, and then you want to take up all the time by talking about Trump. I mean, that's what they do, is they goad people into trying to make some news or make some headline and call it news.
And we saw this with Dasha Burns, who completely embarrassed herself.
Yes.
She was clearly on NBC with DeSantis. She was trying to make up for her John Fetterman interview, which nearly caused John Fetterman to lose that Senate race. I'm from Pennsylvania, so that one still hurts.
Mm-hmm.
But she was clearly trying to make up for it with DeSantis, and she embarrassed herself. And she tried to make it about Trump. And when DeSantis' argument is the election needs to be about January 20, 2025, not January 6, 2021, and she was like, "Well, you don't get to decide that." What she was saying was, "We, the media, are going to get to decide what the election is about." And of course, that's not how any of this should work. For any election, the American people should decide what is important to them. So I caution folks, while obviously this Trump story and the two-tier justice system is very important because it underlines, you know, how the American people, you look at pro-life activist Mark Houck, is just one example, no relation to me, in Pennsylvania, what happened to him when he was protesting peacefully outside an abortion clinic,
mm-hmm.
And what he went through and everything that's been coming up about the FBI targeting, you know, religious groups, particularly Catholics. At the same time, you cannot allow the media to take your eye off the ball. The economy, education are just two of the issues that are going to be huge in this election. So while the media continue to be focused singularly on Donald Trump and they want you to be focused on the Trump indictments, voters need to continue to push back on this and demand that they actually cover real stories. So for Iowans, when you're being interviewed, don't give in to their – don't take their bait. They're going to make you want to talk about whatever's going on in the Trump trials. And, you know, if you give them like 2 seconds of that, they're only going to use those 2 seconds. They're not going to care what else you're going to say. So you need to focus on the issues that really matter to you. And what we do here is just try to let people know that you're more or less being conned, and this is the scale in which you're being conned. Because otherwise, this doesn't leave time for other important issues, because let's face it, on these networks, they'd much rather do deals and steals or whatever's the latest trending thing on TikTok instead.
I have gotten caught up in seeing that every channel has deals and steals, and I thought, you know, originality is now officially dead. But Curtis Houck of Newsbusters joining us on the Todd Starn Show, Jeff Stein filling in for Todd today, newsbusters.org. And you're talking about the bias with regard to Biden coverage, Trump coverage. That's very obvious. But something I've cautioned my audience in Iowa and this audience nationally about before, as has Todd, is the slanting and skewing of news coverage. And you wrote a piece, which is on the website, newsbusters.org, about how these formerly mainstream media networks delight in any misstep by Ron DeSantis, because obviously they want Trump to be the nominee for very different reasons than many members of this audience might. But it's the words they use, right? I mean, it's much more subtle and therefore insidious.
It's struggling. It's tumultuous. You know, they've used other words in the past, like pitfalls, or, you know, really pick a word, pick an adjective, pick a verb. And really, that's what they're going to use to talk about Ron DeSantis. And the thing is, they do two things. You know, there's bias by omission, which means they just ignore the other candidates, unless they're going to come on and willing to talk about Donald Trump, Doug Burgum unwillingly, Asa Hutchinson, and Chris Christie willingly, because that's really all those guys want to talk about.
Yeah.
Or, you know, and you also bias by omission on other things, such as we have 0 seconds on the Biden bribery scandal from Burisma. It's been 60 days since all that stuff started leaking out. We have 0 seconds on that. We also have 0 seconds on the House oversight thread from yesterday that was posted about, you know, $20 million to the Bidens and family members from oligarchs in China, Russia, and Kazakhstan. 0 seconds on that as well. But also the more insidious one is when something is covered, how it's spun. And we see that with the DeSantis campaign. You know, I said this on Newsmax the other day when I was asked about DeSantis. It was like, well, if everything's so early like this and everybody's just supposed to pack it in, you know, why don't we have a President Rudy Giuliani or a President Jeb Bush or even going back before I was born, Gary Hart? You know, elections are long. I wouldn't know this. This is a process. New Hampshire, South Carolina, Nevadans, all these people in early states know this is a long campaign and things can completely change. But the media don't want that. They don't want that because if you remove the other candidates, then they can really talk about the Trump trials and that's it. So you can support Donald Trump, and that's totally fine with me, but just know that the media also have that same goal in mind because they believe that he's beatable. That's why they elevated John McCain. They elevated John McCain in 2007, 2008, and sure enough, they turned on him then.
I was with you on all this until you said, or back before my time, the Gary Hart campaign, because that was not before my time, but... Curtis Houck is managing editor of Newsbusters within the Excellent Media Research Center. It's newsbusters.org for all manner of detailed information so that you can have a good conversation with folks who say, well, there's no bias. Well, here are the numbers, courtesy of newsbusters.org. Mr. Houck, thanks for the time. I appreciate it. We'll talk again.
Yep. Thanks, Jeff.
Curtis Houck, newsbusters.org. And he joined us on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line on the Todd Starnes program. Much more to come, including your calls at 844-747-8868. Short break now. Your calls on the other side. Jeff Stein in for Todd, and this is the Todd Starnes Show. Welcome back to the Todd Starnes Show and the Liberty University studio. Jeff Stein filling in for Todd today. He is on his way to Gotham City and the headquarters of Newsmax, where he will be filling in on Greg Kelly Reports tomorrow night, 10 o'clock in the east, 9 o'clock in the central time zone, and other times as you can do your own math on that. Todd Starnes on Newsmax tomorrow night, 10 Eastern. My privilege to be with you here today, 844-747-8868. I tend to work more than I should. I tend to not get the kind of rest that I need, but I have had so much better sleep. The sleep I get is such good sleep. Ever since some years ago, I converted to MyPillow products. Honest to goodness, nobody's paying me to say it. This is just changed everything for me. And right now I've got the Percale sheets, I've got the MyPillow 2.0, and especially in the summer, this is a good thing to have. Look, I thought MyPillow was it. Now Mike Lindell has MyPillow 2.0. The original had everything you would ever want in a pillow, 20 years worth of great success, but now new technology has made the original even better. And we're talking about the MyPillow 2.0. So yes, it has the patented adjustable fill of the original, but the outer fabric is brand new, temperature regulating thread, and you can really tell the difference. The MyPillow 2.0, softest, smoothest, and yes, coolest pillow you'll ever own. If you're a flipper, you know, in the middle of the night, you got to flip the pillow over to find the cool part. You don't have to do that anymore because this stays cool. And for listeners of the Todd Starnes program, the MyPillow 2.0 is buy one, get one free, so long as you use the promo code Starnes. And while you're there, shop for the sheets and the slippers and all of the other great things that Mike Lindell has come up with through this really unique, legendary American business success story. MyPillow 2.0 temperature regulating technology, of course 100% made in the USA, of course a 10-year warranty, and of course a 60-day money-back guarantee, but you're not going to need it. because you're going to love it. Just go to MyPillow.com and click on the radio listener square to get the buy one, get one free offer, but you need promo code STARNS. MyPillow.com, promo code STARNS, or call 800-839-8506. Talk to a real human being and get your MyPillow 2.0 now. Buy one, get one with promo code STARNS at MyPillow.com. Earlier today, we were talking about a poll question I put up on my local station's website. Should Donald Trump participate in the presidential debate in Milwaukee? And if you go to the live show blog, refreshed at toddstarns.com, there's a link to the poll question there, or you go to my station website, kxel.com/poll, kxel.com/poll, to weigh in on whether you think Donald Trump should be on the debate stage. And if you go to toddstarns.com right now, you'll see the story that's posted with information from Mr. Trump on Newsmax last night where he says, I will not sign the pledge. You know, quote, the pledge, the one that says won't participate in unsanctioned debates, the one that says, most importantly, whoever the Republicans nominate, yes, I will support that person, I won't run as a third party candidate, et cetera, et cetera. It's really meaningless, stupid stuff, in my view. That's not what Mr. Trump said. He was much more diplomatic. But he says he will not sign the pledge because there are some of the people running that he just can't support. So go to toddstarns.com and you can read that story about Mr. Trump saying he will not sign the debate pledge. And you can weigh in on my poll question. The link is there in the live show blog at toddstarns.com. 2 hours down, one more to go on this fabulous Thursday from the Liberty University studio. Thanks for being along. I'm Jeff Stein in for Todd, and this is the Todd Starnes Show.
From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Wherever you're listening across this, the greatest nation God ever blessed, welcome to Hour 3 of a Thursday edition of the Todd Starnes radio program, coast to coast on more than 140 tremendous radio stations, and streaming live at toddstarns.com. Hello, fellow patriots. Jeff Stein coming to you from the free state of Iowa, my home base, News Talk 1540 KXEL in Cedar Rapids and Waterloo. The 50,000-watt blowtorch scorching middle America with accurate news and reasonable views. And I was home to the Todd Starnes Show. Good to have you along. Todd is in a travel mode today. He's on his way to New York. You'll watch him tomorrow night. Yes, he said watch him on the TV box. Watch Newsmax tomorrow night, 10 o'clock Eastern, 9 o'clock Central. Todd will be hosting Greg Kelly Reports tomorrow night from Gotham City. We hope you'll tune in to that. He'll be back behind this microphone on Monday. We are coming to you, as always, from the Liberty University studio. And as always, we invite your calls at 844-747-8868. I'll say that again. It's 844-747-8868. We'll take your calls in the next segment. But we begin this hour of the program by going directly to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line to speak with the state superintendent in the state of Oklahoma. He is Ryan Walters, Superintendent Walters. Jeff Stein filling in for Todd. Thanks for joining us on the national show today. How are you?
I'm great. I really appreciate you having me on.
Now, my background, in addition to being a broadcaster and a lawyer, I taught college students for 25 years, and so I know something about curriculum development at the college level. It is a very different thing at the K-12 level, and I'm really interested in something that you've brought to national attention, and that is how outside forces can infiltrate, is the best way, insidiously crawl into curriculum when it's really indoctrination. Tell us this story, please.
Absolutely. Well, first, you know, we've been very concerned about some of the strings the Biden administration has been attaching to federal dollars, trying to push for boys to go in the girls' bathroom, pushing critical race theory, and these type of measures, and we were just absolutely appalled here in Oklahoma to find out 2 weeks ago that our largest school district has accepted money from the Chinese Communist government to push indoctrination for the Chinese government in their K-12 classrooms. There's 28 schools that this has been found in across the country. It is absolutely undermining our institutions, undermining American values, and is actually meant to promote the communist regime there. It's actually meant to kind of whitewash the history of this Chinese communist government. And this is literally embedded in Tulsa public schools in one of the most conservative states in the country. And we are rooting it out. But it's just almost an unbelievable story to see a foreign adversarial government literally funding our classrooms.
Is this simply pay for play? I mean, is it as crass as that at its basic level?
Yes. And I will tell you, they are getting much better about hiding this. And parents know this story all too well. When they started asking questions about curriculum, you know, how difficult that was. Well, now that we've brought this added level of transparency, and frankly, a big credit to President Trump here, President Trump called out these Chinese communist funding streams. And so they stopped the program, paused it temporarily, and then began funneling money through nonprofits to then reinstitute the program. So we thought a few years ago, well, we've read all this Chinese communist money out of the country. Biden lessened those restrictions. And now the Chinese government is literally funneling money through nonprofits to continue these, they call them Confucius Institutes. And what they are, again, they are promoting the Chinese government, promoting the Chinese communist values. And folks, we all have seen the curriculum. They have undermined American history. They've told you America isn't great. They've undermined the Constitution. They've undermined the faith of our schools and undermined the role of the founders' faith in this great country. So they've already done all this damage in our own curriculum. Now we're literally allowing our enemy to come in and say, yeah, America is terrible, and guess what? We're actually the good guys here. Our form of government is actually the best. This, as actually communism realized, is beneficial, and we have allowed these into our schools. Our largest school district, with by the way, consequently, is also our lowest performing school district. Is that a shocker for anyone out there that the district that believes that taking Chinese communist money is also the one with the lowest reading scores in the state? It's absolutely not a coincidence.
It sounds like the attention to detail has become quite off the mark. In other words, they're much more worried about the financial health or welfare of the people running the district, frankly, as opposed to performance of students or the curriculum that's being taught to Oklahomans.
That's exactly right. And what are you willing to give away for 30 pieces of silver, right? I mean, what are you willing to do to our kids for a few more dollars? It's absolutely unbelievable. And as you point out, honestly, what you see are leftist administrators that are more concerned with playing the woke Olympics and seeing how they can promote ideology, their left-wing radicalism. And so they chase things like Chinese communist money. They put pornography in schools to push a transgender movement. They push critical race theory. And then at the same time, reading scores drop. 12% is the reading proficiency rate at Tulsa Public Schools. Only 12% of their children are reading proficient, and they're funneling indoctrination in. They're funneling Chinese communist money in. It is a disservice they're doing to our students, and we are not going to allow it here in Oklahoma. And again, there are over 20 schools in the country that are still part of this program. So we are trying to shine a light on it to say we have to ensure that we aren't taking money from foreign adversaries in our K-12 schools.
The fact that they called them Confucius Institutes, I mean, that's just brazen. They're not hiding anything, and it's the audacity with which they're carrying this out that is striking at yet another level, is it not?
I completely agree. My background is I'm a public school history teacher, and when I was teaching in the classroom about 15 years ago, you know, I began to go to these trainings where they were downplaying the Constitution, saying the Declaration doesn't matter because Thomas Jefferson was a slave owner. And so you saw these things that were becoming more out in the open. In the last 10 years, I mean, we're not kind of, you know, it's not a steady slope. This is a full cliff. I mean, they've gone from saying, you know, we're going to undermine and question and downplay the Constitution and American exceptionalism to America's evil. And now Chinese government is great. Chinese system of government and society is what we should aspire to. I mean, it is unbelievable what's happened to our country, to our schools. These young people, you know, I think back, one of my favorite things to do with students is read letters from World War II soldiers. You know, they're writing back home. They're telling their wife, you know, if I die today, you know, I'm going to know that I died for my country that was great, that was founded on Judeo-Christian values that I love and I cherish. And you got young people today that are growing up in a school system that's telling them America's evil and Chinese communism is great. It's just, we have to get this corrected for this country to be the greatest country in the world and maintain that standing and begin and continue to be this exceptional country. We have got to rid our schools of this absolute nonsense.
Ryan Walters is state superintendent for education in the state of Oklahoma, and he joins us live on the Todd Starn Show. Jeff Stein filling in for Todd today. I have a two-part question. One is, how pertinent, or not pertinent, how deeply is this sort of thing where people can make donations like this, even if it's something that you and I or people listening might think is a good thing? In other words, how many outlets are there trying to pay to gain access to schools? And the second part of the question is, are you now see this in Tulsa? How can you, as the state superintendent, stop it?
Great question. Twofold here. So, number one, we are seeing this a lot. What districts do is they hide from their board, they hide from parents, what they're teaching, where money's coming from, where it's going. We're actually right now in Tulsa Public Schools requiring them to turn in all of their finances. We're looking at their accreditation. And again, this is part of what you have to do in your states. Remember, your schools are accredited, which means that they have to show they're abiding by state law. They have to show that they are maintaining all the rules that are required of them as a district. And here in the state of Oklahoma, we've passed legislation, and my administration has championed it and passed rules to enforce that you can't have critical race theory. You can't have this radical transgender education in your schools. You can't tell a kid to change their gender. You have to talk to their parents. You can't be having these conversations with kids. And so when we go in, we have asked for all the information around the program to the school. We have required them to turn in not only the finances of where it came from, but actually all the curriculum. We want to see every single thing that you've said there. And we are moving to make it illegal for schools to take money from a foreign government. I mean, you think that's common sense. A foreign adversarial government should not be able to put money into your school, but that's what we want to do. If they're an adversarial foreign government, you don't take money directly from them. But a big part of this that you hit on, you have to enforce transparency on who are your schools doing business with. Where is the money coming from? What are they doing? What is the materials? Because what we're seeing time and time again are these nonprofits, they get money from the likes of George Soros, Communist China, the Southern Poverty Law Center. All of these left-wing fanatical groups put money in, launder it through a nonprofit. They have these names that sound, you know, super touchy-feely, super nothing to see here. And then you start getting the curriculum and you go, holy cow, they're pushing radical elements in our school. So you have to get transparency of not only the finances, but of all the materials in the schools.
But that is the trick, is it not? Lastly, that if, in fact, the foreign countries or the ne'er-do-wells of any kind are funneling cash through what on the surface looks like a domestic nonprofit entity that's only there to do good in the world, that makes your job harder, does it not?
Absolutely. And I mean, and that's where, you know, we have to continue to stay vigilant here. And that's where, you know, again, we have taken the accreditation process very seriously. You know, I'm getting the teachers union running all these negative ads against me because we are taking our role seriously, that taxpayers and parents in the state of Oklahoma are going to have accountability in their schools. So if you take questionable money, if you don't report to us your finances appropriately, we're looking, we're digging in. We're going to make sure, or guess what? Your accreditation will be downgraded. To receive state money in the state of Oklahoma, you have to be accredited. So if you're going to continue to do business here as a school, if you're going to continue to keep the same school leadership in place, you have to abide by our rules and laws. Folks, we have to get serious about this. Your local school board, your state education entity, your governors, your state legislators, we have to get these schools back on track. And the teachers' unions are your biggest impediment to this. And I would encourage everyone listening, you take them on directly. Nobody knows their kids better than their parents. And you do not allow them to push this and take this fight to our kids. We've got to win this battle.
Oklahoma State Superintendent Ryan Walters, thanks for the time. Thanks for making us aware of this rather important issue, and good luck with your efforts, sir.
Thank you very much. I very much appreciate it.
Ryan Walters, Oklahoma State Superintendent. That's just scary. That the Communist Chinese can pay your local school district money, and then on Monday morning, your kids are being taught stuff that the CCP says should be taught. That is scary. He joined us, by the way, on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line, as all guests to the Todd Starnes Show do. And so what do you need to do? Get involved. Find out how they're developing curriculum. And if it's coming from the outside, well, who's paying for this? Because it's I dare say people in Tulsa did not know that the Chinese communists were infiltrating the curriculum of K-12 schools there. Just scary stuff. All right. We'll continue from the Liberty University studio. We have your calls at 844-747-8868 coming up. And after the bottom of the hour, the Associated Press slanders women. Another one of those shocking headlines, right? All right, all of that's still to come. Jeff Stein filling in for Todd. Thanks for being along on the Todd Starnes Show. It's really good that when I host the show, we don't have the video feed because, you know, Dylan plays this music and I just start having throwbacks to those silk shirts and the big medallion chains. There are no photos of my life in the late 1970s and early 1980s, and there's a good reason for that. Jeff Stein filling in for Todd today from the Liberty University studio, because nobody needs to see that. Nobody needs to see the dance moves I was just doing in my studio here in Iowa either. 844-747-8868, that's how you can join us here in the Liberty University studio. Josh will take your call, Dylan taking care of the music. Grace has booked so many good guests today. We'll have another one coming up just after the bottom of the hour about the Associated Press taking sides on what women's rights really mean and what it means to be a woman. So we have all of that coming up here on the program. The consumer price index number came out today. It's not terribly positive. We talked about that an hour and a half ago, thereabouts. Here's a report that plays right into that. And it is the fact that the New York Federal Reserve issued a report on Tuesday that for the first time ever, Americans' credit card debt has surpassed $1 trillion with a T dollars. We as Americans have more than $1 trillion in credit card debt, and that's never happened before. In the three-month period from April to June, the second quarter of this year, total credit card debt surged to $1.03 trillion. That is an increase of 4.6% from the previous quarter, and it is the highest level on record in Fed data dating back 20 years. Now, why is this a concern? We're using credit cards to pay for everyday necessities because we don't have the money to keep up with ever-increasing inflation. And again, if you've been anywhere, grocery store, gas station, back-to-school shopping, vacation, it's costing more, and we're putting it on plastic. That's bad enough. It's worse because the interest rates are what Fox Business calls astronomically high right now. The average credit card annual percentage rate, the APR, hit a new record of 20.33% last week. Credit card interest is 20%, people. That database goes back nearly 40 years. And it's a record. Previous record was in July of 1991 at 19%. So let's put this all together. We are having to use credit cards to pay for everyday items more and more because we don't have the cash to pay for them. Our wages, our income, it's not keeping up with inflation. So we put it on the plastic at a time when we can't pay the plastic and interest accrues at a record rate of more than 20% APR. Here's a fact before we go to break to think about. If you owe $5,000 in debt, That's the average amount, by the way. The average American has $5,000 of credit card debt. The current APR levels mean it would take 277 months to pay it off. That's more than 20-some years. And, oh, by the way, the interest on that $5,000, $7,723 if you make the minimum payments. No, Biomics is just fine. We're doing really well. Think about that on the break. Jeff Stein in for Todd, back in a moment on the Todd Starnes Show. Welcome back to the Liberty University studio. Final half hour of the Todd Starnes Show for this Thursday. I'm Jeff Stein, coming to you from the free state of Iowa, filling in for Todd today. The voice of reason, Andy Hooser, will be behind this microphone tomorrow. Todd is back on Monday. Well, where's Todd? Is he off to claim the Mega Millions prize? Was he in Florida at the time to buy it? No. No, sadly, that's not the case, because he would have shared. I'm confident Todd would have shared the big prize. No, it's a travel day as he makes his way to New York City, because our friend Mr. Starnes will be filling in for Greg Kelly on the excellent Take No Prisoners program, Greg Kelly Reports, on Newsmax. Todd Starnes filling in for Greg Kelly on Newsmax tomorrow night, 10 o'clock Eastern, 9 o'clock Central. And replays overnight, I think, as well, if you're up and want to see it again. If you're one of those folks with the fancy DVR, you could do that as well. I'm just going to make some popcorn and watch live. 9 o'clock in the Midwest, 10 o'clock out east. Greg Kelly reports tomorrow night at Newsmax, and our friend Todd Starnes will be sitting in for Mr. Kelly, and that is why he is away today, travel day, tomorrow, to get ready for the show. But he'll be back with the team in Memphis on Monday, as you would expect. 844-747-8868 is how you can reach us as we continue this coast-to-coast conversation in the Liberty University studio. You know, one of the things that I have heard recently, and again, I'm in Iowa, and so we pay attention to presidential politics here. Thank you. First in the Nation Presidential Precinct Caucuses, and Todd is kind enough to ask me to come on and share what little I may know about it over the course of time. Well, this is now Iowa State Fair time, and it is interesting how many candidates are going to be there. In fact, two of the three Democrat candidates, Robert F. Kennedy Jr., will be there. So will Marianne Williamson. And earlier in the program, tied to the theme that the Biden administration is acting more like he's King Joe the First as opposed to president for a limited term, I mentioned the fact that the Biden administration, Joe's fingerprints are not on it, but you know it's all connected. The Biden administration rejected Robert F. Kennedy Jr.'s request for Social Security protection because of threats made to his life. So on the Republican side, the Biden administration has the leading opposition charged with criminal offenses, and if they had their way, jailed. And he's taking care of potential Democrat opponents by denying them the very basic Secret Service protection. I talked about that in hour number one. And after that, a news release came out from Team Kennedy. This is from the Robert F. Kennedy Jr. Campaign. Here's the headline. And it's a bit provocative, but you got to just state it simply. Here's what it says. Presidential hopeful shot dead in Ecuador. Kucinich calls on Biden to order Secret Service protection for RFK Jr. Dennis Kucinich, who, of course, served in Congress. He was also a mayor in Ohio, was in Congress for 16 years. He is Mr. Kennedy's campaign manager. If you did not know, Dennis Kucinich, former presidential candidate himself, is the campaign manager for Robert F. Kennedy Jr. Stateline, Washington, D.C. today. In the wake of Wednesday's assassination of Ecuadorian anti-corruption presidential candidate Fernando Villavicencio, Robert F. Kennedy Jr.'s campaign manager, Dennis Kucinich, has publicly called on President Biden to order Secret Service protection for Mr. Kennedy. Because to do otherwise ignores how volatile the situation is. So we'll keep you posted on that. But the Kennedy campaign doubling down on their request for Secret Service protection. Let's go now to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line, and we are joined by a senior fellow at the Independent Women's Forum, May Mailman. Ms. Mailman, thanks so much for taking the time to join the national show. Jeff Stein filling in for Todd. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks for having me.
All right. Tell us, first of all, you are a senior legal fellow with the Independent Women's Law Center. Tell us what you folks do on a regular basis, then we'll talk about this situation in Oklahoma and elsewhere.
Yeah, so Independent Women's Forum advocates for issues that affect women, which are all issues, and we do so by advocating policies that don't just sound good and are well-intentioned, but that actually help people's lives. The Independent Women's Legal Center is the legal advocacy arm there, so things that I've been very busy with are, for example, trying to preserve Title IX as protecting women and women's sports and women's educational opportunities and defining a woman. I mean, it's funny, we're in 2020, you'd think we'd be very advanced, and I'm spending a lot of my time defining women and saying that women exist as a category of people. But, you know, fortunately, we don't just spend our time defining women. We also advocate for all sorts of, freedom for people, and that helps women. How can we have better healthcare system with lower costs and more price transparency? How can we reverse course of Bidenomics? You know, things like that.
And again, when I went to law school, I think it was pretty well defined that we had two genders, but obviously courts these days are opening that up. And to your point with regard to Title IX, I mean, it's the kind of thing that, frankly, if you told some of us 5 years ago this would be the fight in 2023, we'd have said it was fanciful and you're crazy. But that has led to something called the Women's Bill of Rights. Tell us, please, what that is as it was put in place in Oklahoma. And tell us about how one news organization is hardly impartial.
So the Women's Bill of Rights has now been passed in various forms in Kansas, Tennessee, and most recently Oklahoma. And the bill in each of these states, they're all a little bit similar and a little bit different, but basically does a couple of things. One, it defines a woman as a biological female. And then that definition applies throughout state law, state regulations, state policy. And then it also helps courts when they are applying laws, saying that when you're looking at when there needs to be non-discrimination on the basis of sex, equality between the sexes, that equality doesn't mean you have to eliminate all women's spaces. Equality between the sexes can often mean that women get their own sport or their own sorority or their own bathroom, their own locker room, their own prison. So those are a couple of things that I think are really important to us. I guess a third point is data collection. If you're collecting data about how girls are doing in school, about violence against women, these types of just basic data collection, you collect, and if the law says collected on women, how are women doing? How are girls doing? Then you have to collect that based on biological womanhood, biological girls, biological women. Otherwise, how are you going to know how women and girls are doing if you have no definition? So these are, I think, very basic. It's a basically compromise law. It doesn't mandate anything necessarily. It just defines it. Oklahoma goes a little bit further and does protect women's spaces. So this is something that progressive women's groups came together with conservative women's groups and said, let's just level set at least on the idea of womanhood and how federal courts should be and state courts should be thinking about equality, meaning you can have separate spaces. Nothing crazy, nothing bigoted, nothing outrageous, a very compromised position. And yet, the media has lost their minds, of course. These are transphobic measures. I don't even know if we're reading the same language.
May Mailman is a senior legal fellow with the Independent Women's Law Center. She joins us on the Todd Starn Show. Jeff Stein filling in for Todd today. Well, a couple of things you said there. You've got groups, some of whom are, quote, conservative, some are on the other side of the spectrum, yet the common ground led them all to come together on this issue to come up with this. So this literally is one of these things where it's truly, I don't want to say bipartisan because that's political, but the idea is you've got people working across the barriers that often divide them. And yet the Associated Press, once known as a news group, called the Independent Women's Voice an anti-trans group. That's kind of a stinger. I mean, that is beyond the normal bounds. So they're all in, aren't they?
They really are. And these laws don't actually have anything to do with trans, right? The laws don't say anything about men who identify as women who identify as men, people who are something different than that. If you identify as a cat, it doesn't matter. All this says is that women exist. And once you know that women exist, then you can create women's only spaces. Now, there have been women's only spaces since Title IX, but really, I mean, the idea of separate bathrooms, this is like very basic in any civilized society. Just by having women's only spaces does not really make you pro or anti trans or anything else. It just means that there is a biological element and need for privacy that any reasonable society should be willing to stand up and protect. And through our laws like Title IX, we already came together as a society to protect that. So if you are a radical group and you no longer think that women should be given certain rights, should be given spaces, should be given privacy, here's what you need to do. You need to go through the democratic process and you need to convince people that women don't exist anymore and are not entitled to privacy. But what you're not entitled to do is get a bunch of bureaucrats together in the states of Oklahoma, Kansas, and Tennessee and just monkey with the definition of women, where all of a sudden a women's prison doesn't actually mean a women's prison. All of a sudden a women's locker room doesn't actually mean a women's locker room. You've got to go through the front door of democracy and not through the back door of the judiciary or an administration. That's all this is. It is not an anti-trans measure. It is a pro-democracy measure. And the last I checked, the left thought that they were the great defenders of democracy. And I just wonder why they're not supporting front door pro-democracy measures like the Women's Bill of Rights.
Well, because again, quite obviously, they're playing a zero-sum game. Why can't you have a pro-women measure without it automatically being anti something else? It just shows, it exposes their agenda for what it really is, which is all about power and transformation in a way that most Americans would find quite puzzling.
Yes. And so a lot of these, there's been lawsuits that have been going on for years and years. And I know that the news, the mainstream media would have it seem like, oh my gosh, in North Carolina, they forced a bunch of, you know, non-binary or transgender kids to go use a bathroom that they were uncomfortable with. No, in these cases, they had stalls and rooms that were just meant for, you know, family bathrooms, basically. There was full privacy. You're fully entitled to it. And yet that was never enough. It's never enough. It's never enough to have your own space. It's not even enough to have your own sports team. It's not enough to just be recognized as, hey, you know what? You're uncomfortable in a certain bathroom. We're going to give you your own space. That is not enough. What is being demanded now is that everyone else has to be made uncomfortable to change their understanding of biology, to change their understanding of privacy, to change their entire worldview to match a progressive ideology, you will be made to celebrate. And that is something I think that is just foreign to our American democracy, where we do have a pluralistic, we've got a lot of diversity, everybody thinks a lot of different things. And you know what? So there's a little bit of just, okay, do your own thing. But it's no longer that. It's you will be forced to change your life to match progressive needs and wants.
We will leave it there. Ms. Mailman, thanks so much for the time, and keep working on this because it is fundamental to who we are. I appreciate your time today.
Great. Thank you.
May Mailman is Senior Legal Fellow with the Independent Women's Law Center. Yeah, it used to be, we'll just let people do their own thing. Now it's conform or be canceled. And there, something she said before I go to break, something she said there, it is never enough with these people. You can make that a broad statement with all of these folks who advocate this radical agenda. It is never enough. You cannot simply acquiesce, because that's not the game they're playing. It is never enough. We'll continue. She joined us, by the way, on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line, and we'll continue from the Liberty University studio in a moment. Jeff Stein in for Todd, and this is the Todd Starn Show. Welcome back to the Todd Starn Show. Jeff Stein filling in for Todd today. Just a few minutes left in the program, so now let's go to the phones. And Pete is listening in Central Iowa on the live stream. Pete, Jeff Stein here for Todd. Thanks for calling in. What's on your mind?
Hey, thank you, Jeff. One question or thought. The Democrats sort of shot themselves in the foot about the caucus when they moved it to South Carolina.
Yes.
If you look at Iowa, the history, in Iowa, they selected Jimmy Carter, Barack Obama, and Bill Clinton over, you know, in Carter, Teddy Kennedy was run on Hubert Humphrey. In Barack Obama, they picked Barack Obama over Hillary Clinton.
Yeah.
So if you look at South Carolina, they selected the last Biden. So if they have moved it, they're going to lose inside Iowa. But the other thing I wanted to mention is that the U.S. Senate is more important to me than the presidency, because there's 50, well, there's 50 U.S. senators two per state. And if you look at the U.S. House of Representatives, if you take the top three in Texas, New York, and California, that's 116 House seats. And Iowa only has four, and a lot of states, you know, you get South Dakota and Wyoming, they only have one or two representatives. So the U.S. Senate, each state has two, so Iowa, California, New York all have two senators, and sort of even.
But no, and that's an excellent point, Pete, and we're right up against the end of the show, but I wanted to make sure you made that point, because that's why we have the system we do, folks, the Electoral College and everything else, and Pete is exactly right. If you have control of the Senate, you can do so much, because that's the chamber where the people are taken care of in an equitable fashion by state. And by the way, Axios is reporting that Joe Manchin says he's, quote, thinking seriously about dropping his affiliation with the Democratic Party and becoming an independent. And that makes Pete's point. They're just jumping off the sinking ship. Andy Hooser's here for Todd tomorrow. Todd's on Newsmax tomorrow night at 10 Eastern. Jeff Stein, thanks so much for being along on the Todd Starn Show.